tune in to Turn On the News daily from 313.9.org. You can go to newsroom.313.9.org for links to anything you might hear here, including links to international radio art, radio news, media news, links, and more. Go to 313.9 and newsroom.313.9.org for everything you want to know about transmission arts. And to hear Turn On the News daily. Music from Stagecoach behind us. AlJazeera.com reports about the American Civil Liberties Union's new report about police uses tracking cell phones across the United States. The report is based on 5,500 pages of internal records from 205 police departments across the U.S. I am surprised agents are getting information from all the calls to a particular cell phone tower. Susan Friedwald from the ACLU says, oh no, she's a law professor at the University of San Francisco, told Al Jazeera. I think that's one of the biggest intrusions. Cell phones register their location with phone networks several times each minute. This function cannot be turned off when the phone is getting a wireless signal. Police ask phone companies to provide them with data on the phone communicating with the tower, allowing police to monitor the movements of cell phone users, which include virtually everyone now. Some of the police officials they interviewed report that getting the cell phone data from the companies was routine and did not involve warrants. Read the full story at AlJazeera.com. Over at Kim Andrew Elliott's international broadcasting blog, there's a report. Actually, they have the full press release from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation announcing that Radio Canada International will, quote, move away from shortwave and drop Russian, Portuguese, and news bulletins. It's because of $115 million in cuts to Radio Canada's budget. Radio Canada will undergo, will move away from shortwave and satellite transmission in order to focus its efforts on the web. I'm quoting the press release. Now, the service will also end the production of news bulletins and close its Russian and Brazilian departments in order to concentrate on the five languages most spoken by its audiences: French, English, Spanish, Arabic, and Mandarin. Over at Radiosurvivor.com, Eddie Veen looks at five Kickstarter projects, radio projects that worked. Most of them are radio stations or internet radio stations. One's Hidden Radio, which puts radio into wireless speakers. Read that story at radiosurvivor.com. We'll be back with some Titanic news in this week. Anniversary of the 100th anniversary of the sinking and all the repercussions to radio that sinking had. tonight, old piano rolls from early in the 19th century, because that's where our focus has been all week with the Titanic anniversary, which we'll get to shortly. Radio news, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission in the United States, has updated its low-power FM channel finder search tool. It's now available to the public on the FCC's website at www.fcc.gov/encyclopedia/low-power-FM-LPFM-channel-finder. Do a search, you can find it quickly. But it will help. You can put your latitude-longitude in, or latitude-longitude of a site of a potential transmitter, and find out if there perhaps is a frequency available in that area. In other FCC news, the Federal Communications Commission, according to the Benton Foundation's John Egerton, plans to defer co-primary designation for wireless and broadcast band. They say, according to sources inside and outside the Federal Communications Commission, the commission will not redesignate wireless broadband as a co-primary user of broadcast spectrum in its April 27 vote to create the initial framework for channel sharing. This is part of a move to reclaim the part of the spectrum that was left open when the analog television frequencies moved to digital a few years back. Those analog television frequencies are, analysts say, valuable resources for wireless spectrum, which is increasingly in demand, as you may imagine. You can find out more about all this at benton.org. Behind us is Jaw Division with Isolation Dub. And over at the Broadcast Law blog, David Oxenford previews the Federal Communication Commission's April 27th monthly open meeting. Oxenford looks at the agenda and has some comments about it. He writes, in one expected action, though perhaps moving more quickly than many thought possible, the FCC has indicated that it will adopt an order in its proceeding requiring TV broadcasters to place and maintain their public files on the Internet. The second broadcast item will adopt rules for channel sharing by TV broadcasters as part of the plan for incentive auctions to entice TV broadcasters to give out some of their spectrum for wireless broadband use. Finally, the FCC proposes to adopt a notice for public recommendation on whether to amend current policies so as to permit non-commercial broadcasters from interrupting their regular programming to raise funds for organizations other than the station itself. That's a notice of proposed rulemaking, excuse me. The first item is to determine whether to require the broadcasters to maintain an online public inspection file. It's a controversial issue about which Broadcast Law and Turn on the News has reported on before. It came out of a Future of Media report, later renamed Report of the Information Needs of Communities, released last year. And hopefully, eventually, it will go beyond television stations, but require all broadcast entities to put their public files online. We will listen to Solar Beat, turning the solar system into a musical instrument, which we can change its tempo. Well, let's let that play behind us as we go to our headlines. Over at the Benton Foundation, David Goldman wonders if landlines are doomed, and he rolls out the numbers. Almost 32% of American homes now do not have a landline and are cell phone only. That's double from 2008, nearly triple from 2007, according to a recent government study. Verizon's landline revenue has fallen 19% since 2007, and AT&T's is down 16.5% over the same period. But they do not, he says, Goldman says they do not, the two companies that control most of the landlines in the country don't plan on shutting them down anytime soon. Landline services still account for 47% of AT&T's revenue and 37% of Verizon's sales. You can go to Benton.org for more information about this story. Paul Rimsmandale over at Radiosurvivor.com looks at the FCC's might be making a proposal for rulemaking about non-commercial radio local marketing agreements like KUSF's. Local marketing agreement is when a station owner permits another broadcaster to rent the station, taking over the programming and advertising for a fee. The station owner retains all the rights and liabilities for the station, including the license. Local marketing agreements have often been used to let large owner like Clear Channel operate another station in a market without violating local ownership limits, since the license remains in the hands of another entity and Clear Channel is limited to owning a certain number of stations in each market to avoid monopoly laws. This is a way around that. David Oxenford over at the Broadcast Law blog seems to think that the FCC may address the issue at its April open meeting. The agenda item is actually called, quote, non-commercial educational station fundraising for third-party nonprofit organizations. So it really gets to this recent KUSF sale in California, where the station is planning to buy a number of other stations in their classical public radio network and add them, but they've held off on their fundraising on the new stations until the FCC approves the sale. You can read more about this at Radiosurvivor.com. The folks at Third Coast International, the annual radio documentary festival in Chicago in October, have their ReSound internships up. It runs from June 1st to September 15th. The ReSound intern assists with aspects of producing the Third Coast weekly radio show on WBEZ. You can apply at thirdcoastfestival.org. We are going to listen to some Scanner, some Wilco first, I guess, and we'll be back with some Titanic news as we continue to trace the anniversary of the Titanic sinking, April 15th, 2012, and what that meant to radio and radio history. Thank you.
apples for the kings and queens and things I've never seen. Oh, distance has no way making love understandable. Cheer up, honey, I hope you can.
The satellite is plain, twisted in a grain. Sundays on the canyon floor. But I can hear you loud and clear through the static and the beam. And the squelch is music all the way. This Hollywood divine is Broad Street hollow rhymes, crazed up. Tailgate drops and stops and the police unfolds into a daydream. Party come, party come.
twice cut once.
Scanner with Treble Spin from Delivery. Before that, Latitude Longitude with Party Cove from Radioaction 3, a Freerunner 3.9 release. And Wilco started things off with Radio Cures from Yankee Foxtrot. Next on Turn on the News, we now hear from Gavin Bryars. He's a British post-minimalist composer who studied under John Cage and is very well known for his 1969 recording, The Sinking of the Titanic, which is playing in the background behind us.